round of the 2013 draft. The New England Patriots and former Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs have agreed to terms on a four-year deal worth $68 million, according to reports. The Lions inked running back Isaiah Pacheco to a one-year deal. Tight end Dawson Knox back in Buffalo on a three-year contract. While the Athletic's Diana Rossini reports the 49ers asking price for backup quarterback Mac Jones has been, quote, astronomical, end quote, according to her sources. Lakers guard Luka Doncic fined $50,000 for making an unprofessional and inappropriate gesture towards an official on Sunday. That gesture was a money sign after a foul was called. Arizona State top Baylor today in the Big 12 tournament, 83-79. Duke guard Caleb Foster out indefinitely with a fracture in his foot.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Pass Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, U.S. Ag groups applauded the House Ag Committee for bipartisan passage of Farm Bill 2.0 out of committee. The National Pork Producers Council applauded the legislation for including a fix for California's Prop 12, which they say undermines states' rights. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall said Farm Bureau appreciates the support of members on both sides of the aisle who recognize the bill as critical as farmers face headwinds not seen in a generation. The now-closed Strait of Hormuz moves about 20 million barrels of crude oil and petroleum products daily, about 20% of the global demand. Politico says the White House will offer naval escorts and political risk insurance for oil and gas tankers traveling through the strait in a bid to slow down a surge in energy prices. The announcement brought some immediate relief to the overheated crude oil market. Well, the tech industry's relentless push for data centers in rural areas is seen by many farmers as a threat to their way of life. Supporters are looking at parts of farmland as excellent sites for the sprawling server pack facilities they need to support the White House goal of making the U.S. the dominant force in artificial intelligence. Data centers target rural areas because they need a lot of land, substantial water, and electricity supplies.
It's been popping up in orchards and vineyards all over. Any origin theories, callers?
Oh, hey, yeah, it's Sevia fungicide from BASF, a category leader in disease control.
How do you explain these healthy crops?
Well, longer-lasting residual. Plus, it's built for current regulatory standards and prepared for what's to come, which improves crop marketing flexibility, so...
A fungicide that is out of this world? I knew it. Sevia fungicide from BASF. Or is it... Always read and follow link directions.
Two legacies, one standard. Green Mountain Angus and Rooney Angus invite you to their spring production sale, Friday, March 13th, 1 o'clock at Pays in Billings, Montana. Selling 100 yearling bulls and 38 aged advantage bulls, including a strong set of heifer bulls. All developed for real-world conditions with longevity, maternal strength, and performance in mind. Bulls sell with genetic-enhanced EPDs and are PAP tested. Join on March 7th for the open house in White Sulphur Springs. For all the details, visit RooneyAngus.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. For more, go to aginfo.net.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are attempting to hold on to gains in afternoon trading as investors take comfort that oil prices are easing on expectations that the Middle East conflict could come to a sooner than expected end. Tech is the best performer among the 11 S&P 500 sectors, while energy is lagging, and shares of Oracle are down nearly 1%. The software provider is slated to report its latest quarterly results after the bell today. Investors anticipate that the event could lead to a big move in Oracle stock. And shares of Hims & Hers Health are climbing climbing 3%, adding to steep gains from the previous session after Hims unveiled a partnership with Novo Nordisk to sell branded GLP-1 drugs through its online pharmacy. The move ends a long-standing feud between the two companies and has led to a handful of stock upgrades for Hims. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Letters to the editor don't get picked up by the newswires. Maybe sometimes they should. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
In these times when so many of us have a tendency to lose faith in ourselves, it's good now and then to be reminded of the good-natured, generous spirit that's been an American characteristic for as long as there's been an America. Not too long ago, such a reminder came in the form of a letter to the editor, and I thought you might like to hear about it. The writer was a refugee from South Vietnam, but he was American, not Vietnamese, a clergyman. I suppose a missionary, although I can't vouch for that. The Reverend described a 20-foot craft adrift in the Gulf of Thailand with no fuel, no food, no water, barely afloat and sinking with its cargo of 82 refugees. Towering over it was the aircraft carrier, the USS Midway. The Reverend described the Midway as tired. It had already deposited some 2,000 refugees on other ships, refugees who had arrived in more than 500 flights. One flight was a light observation plane not designed for carrier landings. The Midway had to move up to top speed to enable the pilot to land with an entire family jammed inside the tiny fuselage. There were 40 choppers on the deck, brand new F-5E fighters and A-37s that had carried people who preferred not to be liberated by the communists. The Midway also carried a sign the crew had made that read, "Welcome Refugees." So they picked up the 82 who were begging to be taken aboard. Once on board, they had one question. Would they be handed over to an unfriendly government, perhaps to be eventually murdered? The executive officer of the ship told them this would not happen. He said, "Our job is to make you as comfortable as possible, heal the sick, and feed you to your heart's content." That was the official policy of our nation, and therefore of the Midway. How was it carried out? Well, according to the Reverend, the sick were cared for. A tiny baby with double pneumonia was cured. People without clothes were given American clothing. Sailors took the old clothing and washed them for their guests. Pretty soon, homeless children were being given piggyback rides on the shoulders of American seamen. And Navy T-shirts bearing the Midway decal began appearing in the little ones. The tragedy they'd been through hung heavily on the adults, of course. So the sailors planned entertainment for them. But let the Reverend tell it. Quote, "Different Navy groups collected money. Ads went into the ship's paper asking for toys. Charity begot more charity. There is a motto on the Midway. The Midway puts it together. For the grateful refugees, that's the understatement of the year." Unquote. In the dark days right after World War II, when our industrial power and military might were all that stood between a war-ravaged world and a return to the Dark Ages, Pope Pius XII said, "America has a genius for great and unselfish deeds. Into the hands of America, God has placed the destiny of an afflicted mankind. I think those young men in the Midway have reassured God that he hasn't given us more of an assignment than we can handle. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Protecting What Matters. Barry is out today. I think he's out selling insurance across the country with a few events he needed to attend. But you have me and a sleepy supervisor candidate over here.
What?
I'm yawning
because I'm sleeping 5 hours a night right now getting through this campaign.
Hasn't even started yet.
Oh, please. This has been going on since last year.
The real stuff is it hasn't even gotten good.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, in a couple of weeks, that's when you start throwing darts at me.
Yeah. No, I got a payment. You saw the envelope. That was from
$5.
Mr. D'Antona. He's paying me to go after you today.
Oh, yeah. Big payola going on with
right?
that.
Yeah. But yeah, so you have me, Eric Gorham, and we have a candidate for District 2, Michael Aaron Woody, joining us today. So I think we're just going to start out with a little political, what's kind of going on. And realistically, I think you're yawning because of daylight savings time. So what's up with that?
We've got to talk about daylight savings time.
This is important stuff.
It is important. Isn't the theory behind daylight savings today is that it's an energy saving thing? I mean,
I think originally it was farming. You could get out and have more time in the afternoon.
Yeah. Originally, I think it was a farming thing. And wasn't that... Somebody told me it's Ben Franklin? Is that?
I don't know. I don't know the history of daylight savings. I'm guessing. We had a little bit of a conversation. It sounds like if we got rid of it, we'd go back to what we were. Anybody can answer that. If you want to call in, tell us what we would be.
Yeah.
What's Hawaii right now? Because they don't do it. And does Arizona
aren't
do
they
it?
3 hours?
Yeah, but they're either three or four, depending on daylight savings.
And I think
Arizona
doesn't change.
And they're in the same time zone. So what time is it in?
I don't know. Thanks for telling me to research this before I come in here.
I know. If anybody's got your ChatGPT or you're well versed in daylight savings time. The phone line's 238-5775-238-KPRL.
Well, here's the weird part of daylight savings. I was thinking about this last year, believe it or not, because we were doing this.
And we did last year when we voted? No, that was like two or three years ago when we voted.
Whatever it was, what I know is that when we get to the middle of summer, the sun comes up under daylight savings about 5:45 in the morning or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's when the sun actually physically comes up. And you actually get that little light blue thing going on about 5 in the morning. Okay. So, yeah. So, you've got 5:45 in the morning. If we went off of daylight savings and rolled everything back, that means the sun would come up at 4:45 in the morning.
Okay.
So, that becomes the thing that I've looked at and I thought, okay, so if we don't go into daylight savings, do we really want the sun coming up at 4:45 in the morning?
I don't know. Or do you just switch it and do the daylight savings time?
Yeah, and keep it. But then you get to the winter.
And it's dark early.
It's dark all morning.
Yeah.
It's going to be dark all morning.
I don't know. I don't know why we voted to be honest.
It's a real thought process.
I think we have a caller, though, that might be able to settle this.
Please settle this.
You're on the air.
I am on the air?
You are on the air. How you doing?
Well, no, I'm okay. I think we should keep daylight savings time because it's standing proof that our Congress is populated by the dumbest sons of bitches in the world.
Wait, I didn't know Eric Gorm was in Congress.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I agree. I kind of find it interesting. What was it? A few years ago, we actually voted on this, but we voted to let the legislature in California make a decision if they wanted to at some point. It was the dumbest vote in history.
Oh, yeah, then.
Yeah, we weren't actually voting whether we wanted to change it or not. We voted on whether or not we want to let our elected officials
in
the state.
It was something
and then they've never
and
done
then
anything.
Never done anything about it, right.
Well, I mean, the California legislature only does those things that will hurt Californians. So it only makes sense that they didn't go to daylight savings time.
Well, they just want to keep us guessing, I think.
They didn't suspend daylight savings time.
Right.
What a farce.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I think I read or heard somewhere that thousands of people have heart attacks because of changing the daylight saving time and springing ahead.
I have to look into that, actually.
I, you know what? I've heard that same thing.
Have you?
Yeah, I've never really looked into it, but I've heard that same thing thrown around. Whether it's true or not, I don't ask me, but I've heard that one floated.
Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
All right.
Right.
I think he was having a heart attack.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that, I mean, I think you get to a certain age and you get very, set in your ways, so things like daylight savings could mess you up.
That's not what I heard about you. I heard you were set in your ways by the time you were 12.
Well, yeah, the right ways. I only know the one way. I don't even. There was a time that I thought, you know, I could have been wrong, and it's just not. I don't know. You know, then I thought, well, anyway, the could have. I give myself one time a year to be wrong. I'm supporting you, so.
Obviously, I you know what? I guess you're always right. I can see that.
But yeah, anyway, daylight savings, and you're for or against?
You know what? I'm willing to keep it as is for no other reason than I can't see the sun coming up at 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah. You know, I kind of like having the extra light right now. I will tell you, I had to do a safety meeting on Monday, and I had and it's outside, and I had to get my phone out to read my papers because it was still dark.
See, for me, I had this...
About halfway through, I didn't need my light anymore, but...
Yeah, see, it was kind of weird because I had this job going on at Lemoore Naval Air Station, about 4 years ago, and I had to be on base every morning at 7 o'clock, which means I was leaving here at 5:30 in the morning, and this was during the winter months. So, but I remember driving out there in the morning, 5 days a week I'd make this drive. And I remember taking off at 5:30 and thinking, geez, if we stayed on daylight savings or however you work it, geez, that means the sun would be coming up this odd hour in the morning.
Right.
And you're driving an hour, you're commuting an hour and a half for work every day. And so you're by yourself. So you start thinking of these odd things just to pass the time every day. And I thought, you know, maybe there's a point to this just because I don't want to watch the sun come up at 4:45 in the morning. Or during the winter months, that means instead of the sun coming up at, 7:30, it wouldn't come up till 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
And I thought, I don't know, maybe that'd be kind of weird to have that. So
it's a double-edged sword because for me, so Monday I felt good, and today I did not want to wake up. But I also stayed up late last night doing some work and whatever. And
you were scrolling your IG account.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's work.
That's what really keeps
you. I'm researching.
You're looking at cat videos. I don't know. Just whatever.
So, if anybody wants to call in on this, I think we might move on because there's more interesting things that are actually in the news than
you'd think.
Daylight savings. And, I mean, we have everything from should we be in Iraq to gas prices being driven up because of that. And if you look on top of that, I think what California is doing, it's going to compound here. I don't know how long. It sounded like they thought this was going to come to an end. Doesn't necessarily mean that Iraq's going to open up the straits over there. I mean, they could try to keep things closed just to punish, the Western.
Yeah, there's a real political game going on in this as well. I mean, but obviously what's going on in Iraq, you know, like with anything the United States gets involved in, the question is, is there a strategy to get out of this? What's the end game on any strategy? Because it's easy to go in there. It's easy to go into any country, especially when you're the United States, and say, okay, here's what we're going to do from a military standpoint. But the problem that we have faced in the past is going in somewhere, anywhere, whether it's the right thing to do, setting that aside for 1 second, is that what becomes the end game to get us out? And when we get out of this, do we leave it in a situation that maybe it just goes back to the way it was before, or even worse than it was before? And we've had that happen in the past. So that's the big question that I'm hearing from everybody. What's the end game on this?
And I don't think we ever had plans on actually going in. I think this was always bombing. I don't think we'll ever have troops on the ground, realistically. I don't think it's too... Logistically, it'd be very hard. If you know how that country's built, it's surrounded by mountains, for one. Mm-hmm. Yep. You either have to traverse those mountains or you have to parachute in, more or less.
Yeah, and the problem that I'm seeing with all this
is... And then that turns into a very long, drawn-out war.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem that I think the United States has had in the past when it comes to getting involved in foreign matters like this is that we've gone in and we've done it in a half-baked way, for lack of a better phrase. We've done it in a way that's like, well, let's go in there, let's target this, let's target that. Donald Trump, from what I can see, is doing something different. He's going in there and saying, look, I'm going to, instead of just going there and just target this and target that, and then we're going to rebuild the place with new schools, and we're going to put in a Target shopping center and all that, which fails every time. He's going in there and saying, no, what we need to do is we're going to collapse the entire system of these people. Mm-hmm. You know, we took out Khamenei, and I'm saying his name wrong, I'm sure. And then, okay, you're going to appoint somebody else. Okay, we're going to take you out too. We're going to take out your entire government. We're going to take out everything associated with this to the point where it's decimated. So the only thing that's left is, you know, more of a westernized
democratic system. You got to take it like Biden and build back better, I guess.
Right, exactly. And I think that's always been the problem in the past with the United States is that we go in and we treat it like a military option or something, and we target it here and there, and then the bad guys... just sit on the side.
Well, I kind of look at this too as this was an end game, in my opinion. I could be wrong. To this, the part of this war is against China. We're crippling their fuel system right now. We're crippling China, and we're having an effect on Russia too, because China and Russia buy from Iran at a reduced price. They get fuel at less cost than we would, considerably. And we're taking that away from them. And I don't think this was purely about Iran. I think this was a bigger strike to China.
And what's also interesting that a lot of people did not want to talk about, but they've had to come back and, you know, take admission to, was I think it was back in January that the regime over there, my God, they killed, 30,000 of their own people within a span of maybe a week or a week and a half. Of descendants who disagreed with him, they murdered them.
Oh yeah,
it's 30,000 people. That's not 300, which is wrong, or even 30.
Probably the listeners here probably remember this, but a lot of people don't remember. You see a lot of young people up in arms, etc. But look at what that country was like in the 70s.
Oh yeah, it was absolutely.
It was pretty much a Western country.
Yes, it was very Westernized,
and
it was beautiful.
And then basically, a religious belief took control of that country, and. it's interesting because I don't think most people, I think you have to be of a certain age, probably at least 50, to realize that in the 70s, was a Western country.
It was a Westernized country.
And it was prospering. It was doing great.
It was modern. It was,
it looked like the United States, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it did. It was unbelievable.
If you take pictures of the United States in the 70s and pictures over there in the 70s and you see the people,
a lot of the same fashions.
You can't really say where they're at.
Right, exactly.
You wouldn't know.
And what really led to their downfall, though, was the Shah of Iran, I think it was. The Shah of Iran, he started becoming much more corrupt. And it was his internal corruption that led to the takeover that we're still living with today. So it was that corruption that led to it. It wasn't their lifestyle or their culture. But if you've studied enough of this, you know, you go back to what happened to, what was the CIA got involved back in the 50s? I'm going to mix all the names up. But anyways, the CIA got involved, overthrew everything. Then the Shah of Iran came in. But that ended up being, it was his corruption that led to the religious takeover that happened in the 70s. And, of course, the Iranian hostage crisis, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and the one thing that, I've seen that I don't really like that Trump has done is basically he's calling on the people to take over. They don't have weapons.
No.
I mean, this isn't take up weapons and take over your country. They were taken away a long time ago. In any kind of regime like this, one of the first things you do, whether you're Hitler, whether you're Ayatollah, whoever you are, if you want to rule a people, what do? You take their weapons away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you take them away.
I feel like those calls are basically leading the lambs to the slaughter. Like, go out there because they're not opposed to gunning down people.
And
I mean,
that's been my concern with this is that, was there or is there a plan in place to make sure that, we go back to or go into something that's much more civilized.
Right. And I have to say, what was it, Sunday when they announced that the son of the Ayatollah was taking like, you got to be freaking, like, who would take that? I'd be like, no, I'd be defecting out of the country. You're not making me the leader. Every time you announce somebody, he gets blown up.
I look at this and I think, I'm counting the day that I pick up my phone or turn on my computer in the morning and I see that he was killed too.
Yeah,
truthfully. I mean, really, I feel like his life is on a sand clock right now.
Oh, it is. If he's picking up some sand, none of it's staying in his hands there.
Right. So. Exactly. Unless there's something going on privately through third channels with the United States that we don't know about.
Yeah, which there always is, but we don't know what they are. What
right.
They,
you know, what's going on the side here?
You know, and the other part of this is they're situated in a place. Geographically, that gives them a lot of power over oil production, over oil, the movement of oil,
sure,
which is a global commodity that none of us can get out of. We all need it. I know we're trying to replace it, but in the future, I'm kind of wondering what retributions are going to be taken, if any. You don't know what's going to happen, but they're in a place to hurt the Western world, basically, through the means of oil.
Yeah, and
I don't mean just what comes from them. Yeah, you know what I mean?
And the oil discussion gets kind of strange at times because a lot of people who want to live in a, for lack of a better phrase, an oil-free world, when you actually talk to them, what they're saying is, can we drive cars that are not using oil or using less oil?
They're just made out of oil.
Right, and yeah. But when you have to point out to people that every aspect of our life and every product that you see out there is in direct connection to oil and lubricants. I mean, it just is. So
no, when you see,
and I've had people stop me even during this campaign and say, "Do you think we can live in an oil-free world?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely not. It's impossible."
No, people don't realize the pipe that you drink your water out of is made out of oil. Like everything. I mean, if you look at the crazy, what people on this station would probably look at is the crazy left-wing, let's say 42-year-old woman with blue hair and pink hair and the crazy makeup. She doesn't realize how much oil's on her face. I mean, literally.
Or in her hair. Yeah,
I mean, or in her hair. It's all everything.
In your cell phone.
Damn near everything's made out of oil.
Computers. And everything that, spins or rotates is oil.
I mean, if you want to go with solar power, pretty much all made out of oil.
Right. I mean,
if you want to go with windmills,
sure.
Lubricated, made out of oil.
Yeah.
And then the power plants that make all that stuff are pretty much all coal or fuel powered plants.
Yeah. I think it's 40% of the electricity we use is. The byproduct is actually oil and coal and whatnot.
I don't even know how you do a construction job, landscape job without oil.
You don't. Or without products around us that every day are dependent on oil.
We don't have a fix for pipe.
I support that? Yeah, we can be much more efficient than we are. Of course.
No, we can for sure. And with that, I guess we'll take that as a stopping point and we'll be right back. But the phone lines are open. If you want to join in the conversation, you want to go back to Daylight Savings, the number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. And you can also text via that number. We'll be right back with more Protecting What Matters.
usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
38 years ago, we opened Stove and Spa Center, and we are old and tired. We finally decided it's time to enjoy retirement. So we're having a huge store-wide sale. That's right, folks. If you've been thinking of getting a stove, insert, or fireplace, now is the time to get one. We have lots of inventories, and it all needs to go quickly. We have wood, gas, pellet units, and they are priced to sell. We have burn models up to 40% off. We also have fireplace screens, grates, steamers, gloves, and other hearth accessories all on sale to move. Don't miss the great opportunity to get items at a great price while supplies last. Stove and Spa Center is closing our doors, so don't miss this incredible store-wide deals. All sales are final and must take possession of product within 10 days of purchase. Come see all the items available to put into your home. Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbaril and Morrill Roads, open Tuesday through Saturday.
And welcome back to Protecting What Matters. It's Eric Gorham here, and music cut out quick, so hopefully sounds like we're still on the air. But Barry's out today. He's traveling, doing some work, getting caught up. And so you have me, and you have Michael, Aaron, Woody. We're kind of talking about current events. You know, kind of moving on. And we can go back to any of these, just so you know. Again, the phone number is 238-5775, 238-KPRL. I actually just opened up the text line. It was open, but I wasn't viewing it. So if you want to text, same number, give us a text, and we'll read them out here and see what's going on. But what do you think of the school walkouts lately? We've had some here in Paso Robles, across the county, across the state.
I am old school on these things. I do not think that kids should be allowed to walk out like that.
Right.
I am very much against that.
Well, and some of those numbers showed that a lot of them just walked out and left. They didn't go with protests.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, look, it's an excuse to leave. You and I didn't go to high school together, but I'm going to take a shot in the dark that if some teacher came into your room and said, okay, you can go protest. And
I would have been gone.
You would have been a Carl's.
I might have already been gone.
Yeah, but you would have been a Carl's Jr. slamming down a Western Bacon.
I wouldn't have protested unless it had something I was really interested in or something. And there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, back when I was younger, you had the Iraq War.
Yeah.
So you were either, you know, a lot of people that were my age were getting ready to sign up for, what do you call it? The,
draft.
Yeah. And, it was like, well, I know that what I saw was people going, well, do I want to go risk my life for oil? Because that's what the thought was back then. To a lot of kids that were my age, and not knowing, because that was the first time you kind of look at those things in high school, and there's a conflict, and all of a sudden you got to sign selective service papers, and you're like, and I remember that being a discussion with a lot of people, kind of like, if I have to go over there for oil, you know, because that was the thought of the time.
And I think it's hard because, you know, the difficult part is trying to explain to somebody who's 16 or 17, and trying to get them to understand is that, look, you know, absolutely read up about these events, read up about current events, read up about what's going on, you know, internationally. I get it. But at the end of the day, a lot of these issues are very, very complex. And most of the high school students that I've talked to about a lot of these issues, I mean, they're you know, they do everything they can to read about it and understand them. But there's more to it than just saying, okay, I understand a spreadsheet or I understand A, B, and C. Having a little bit of life experience behind everything and understanding a few things. And, you know, as I like to share with high school and college kids that I speak with, is that you got to remember something. Back in the 70s, we were told we were going to be out of food and energy by the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was a big scare over this. Or what was it?
And then we had the ozone layer that was collapsing.
That was going to die. Were we going to go into an ice age?
We were, yeah.
Yeah, there was
and
all
they usually,
the, yeah,
I mean, historically, they give a 10-year precedent. They're like, in 10 years.
Right, exactly. And, and, you know, where I try to explain to them is that, look, every generation, every time you look back, there's always the newspaper articles that say we are 5 to 10 years away from everything collapsing.
Right.
And when you live long enough and you've seen this for year after year and decade after decade, you really reach that point where you start saying, okay, wait a minute, who really made money on that scare? Did an industry make money off that scare? Did when we got rid of, you know, when we created plastic straws so we couldn't cut down the
we're
trees.
We're going to do plastic bags instead of paper. Now we're back to paper.
Now we're back to paper bags. I mean, so when you live enough years and you see the ebb and the flow of, oh, it's this way, oh, it's this way, it's, oh, it's this way, you now look back on your life and you say, wait a minute, were we taken for a ride? And then you find out, yeah, a lot of those issues, that was somebody making money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's a government control, too. A lot of the things the government gets involved, they can put in new ways. I mean, a lot of what government is, especially if you're a younger person listening to this show, this is something that people don't normally tell you, but you should listen to this. A lot of government, city government, county government, state government, federal, I don't care what the government is it's a lot of lining consultants' monies that happen to be your friends if you're the politician. So what you see is we need to do this, we need to hire these consultants, we need to hire this firm to do testing. And if you look at who does that, like say in the San Luis Obispo County, you're going to see the same names over and over. And these people are getting rich off basically, should we ban straws? Should we do this? Should we do that? Should we add a tax here? Yeah. Should we? But it's always the same people. You look at where they donate their money. Yeah. They're donating to certain campaigns, etc. All of this stuff that seems really good is the money making machine.
Yeah,
it really is.
It is. And when you realize that one of the ways that people can make an exorbitant volume of money. I don't mean go out there and make a living money and invest your money in, you know, retirement 401ks or something, but I mean serious volumes of money, is that you have a product and then you create your, you know, local government, state, federal government, whatever, you get them to pass a law that magically gives you a monopoly on the market.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of things you
can
do.
San Simeon toilets back in the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and you can do that with really anything.
Remember those commercials in the 80s? That toilet, every toilet in San Simeon is whatever.
Right.
You know, Acme toilets because we save you water.
Right, exactly. And it's always based on, you know, fear and public perception. And it could be any issue you can think of. That's how, and you find that people make an exorbitant volume of money doing things like that. And that's why.
Then they just move to the next thing.
The next generation is something else.
If you can pay enough attention to what goes on, it's the same people making money.
Right.
They just move to this and then they move to this and they may have 10 hands in the fire, but they're just, you know, they're making money it's really a game more than you think. So it's not to be defeated in this, but you really got to look at what you're supporting.
Yeah. And you live through enough of it over the years, you see it happen, you become a little more skeptical over, let me take a little more look into this and see what's going on.
Right. Yeah, it's not plain black and white, but we'll get into this a little more. We're going to go through a long break, but we'll be right back with Michael Aaron Woody, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the campaign. And again, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear what you want to talk about. I want to keep going on current events a little bit and this campaign that's going on.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. It's